Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 316. Da-da-da-da-da-da. As this week we bring you the first hour of WCW Starrcade 1991. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil, joined as always by the other half of the, well, I'm not joined as always by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions. Jim Valley is still hospitalized, and I did get to chat, text briefly with his wife Carrie today, and she said she was going to be reading him all of his tweets and emails and social media posts that are dedicated to him. Once he woke up from his nap, so he is resting comfortably. He's not in danger at the moment as we record this on Friday. Filling in, however, for Jim Valley this week, we have the legendary producer of Ravens podcast and of hold on a moment, it'll come to me. Yeah, of Keeping It 100, of course, with Conan. We're talking about Joseph Feeney III, aka JoJo, aka Joe Feeney, the head of Creative Control Network, who distributes the show. Welcome, Joe.
Happy to be here. I'm glad I could join you guys tonight.
And of course, we're joined by our sponsor Ken Banks, who has been covering for us during these trying times. Ken is the owner of Ken and Tech's Pet Care of Bangor, Maine. KenandTech.com, KenandTech.com. Welcome back, Ken.
Thank you. I'm happy to be a poor man's Jim Valley once again.
Well, you're helping out, and that's very much appreciated. So, guys, are you ready to step into the Wayback Machine, go to 1991, and watch the most stunning Battle Bowl ever?
You already know my answer, Pat.
Well, yes. We'll get to that in a moment. Yeah, Ken. Yeah, we had our vote, and Ken won. filling in for Jim. He selected Starrcade 1991 Battle Bowl, the first ever Battle Bowl. Ken, remind us why you chose this show.
Okay, I chose this show because, look, I know that this was not peak WCW. I get that. I'm not an idiot at all. 1991, not a great year for them. But for me, this was pretty close to my peak as a fan. Ah. And I was getting to see pay-per-views like for the first time really of my life. So this was incredibly exciting for me to be able to see this show live. And damn it, Pat, I just want to enjoy the memories.
Okay, that's good. Joe, have you seen this show before?
I don't think so. I mean, I remember the concept. I remember the Battle Bowl concept and all that. And like I said, I would occasionally watch the Saturday or Sunday night shows over at my my grandmother's. She had cable in the room. And, you know, I read the magazines and whatnot, so I knew what was going on. But I don't think I was ever able to rent this, or I don't think it was at the video store. So this is going to be a first for me.
Now, this was at the video store, and I rented it. I did not see it live, although I'm at Clemson University at this time, and me and my friends, Gene Garris and Evil Jeff, we'd make the drive every so often to TV tapings at Gainesville, Georgia, at the Georgia Mountain Center, which was, they did a lot of those there. And we went to a taping in November of 91, and they announced that the Georgia Mountain Center in Gainesville, Georgia, would be the only closed circuit site for Starrcade 91 in the entire country. And you could come and watch that there. We decided not to because, well, we were home for Christmas for one thing, so that wasn't going to happen. Some business to take care of. First of all, thank you everybody who tunes in. We did get ratings back. However, this is one of the times when we didn't have any good ratings news to report. We're kind of stuck right now. Hopefully the start of Battle Bowl though will pick the interest right back up, Ken.
If that poll doesn't work, Pat, nothing will.
Well, there's an increase in Patreon subscribers, so thank you very much for that. Patreon.com/waybackplayback is the way you do that. And that's every episode on there. And I guess now that we finally uploaded all the episodes, first of all, we're doing a bonus match this week, which I'll tape with Ken later on. And the bonus match will be from the pregame show. So that you have that to look forward to. And Ken, there'll be a couple of the Hall of Famers on it just for you.
Oh, really?
Yes. But Joe will get to choose the, and we'll get to do the other, we'll get to the bonus match for here with Joe in just a moment. Yes. So at patreon.com/waybackplayback, $4.50 a month. That gets you all the archives of every show that we've all 316 shows that we've done. You get the new shows in advance, even though it's probably only going to be like 24 hours in advance, and commercial free. Not that you don't love our commercials, but you know, some people can do without them. And yeah, you get all the shows, including the ones that were done back before we were back when we were behind the paywall. So yes, we've made a deal with PW Torch where those episodes are on there too. So you can hear the whole thing and a whole lot. And since you've missed Jim Valley lately, just a whole bunch of episodes with Jim Valley on them, just for fun.
It's the most successful independent wrestling promotion of this generation. It's the place where the stars of today made their name. Now get the inside story of Ring of Honor from those that lived it with an honorable mention. Join Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn and his co-host Jeff Schwartz as they break down a classic Ring of Honor event every Tuesday and get the behind-the-scenes scoop and inside stories that you won't hear anywhere else. An honorable mention, available every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platform. For exclusive bonus content, plus early ad-free access to every show, check out patreon.com/anhonorablepod.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
All right. Also, a happy Clash of Champions Day, guys. This is going to drop on Sunday. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Clash of Champions Sunday. Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton. Anyway. Okay, now would be probably a good time to do our bonus match. And we have, and now that we have, and Joe is here and Ken is here. All right, so we're doing two bonus matches, one for this show and one for Patreon, for the nice folks on Patreon and the Black Scorpion tier. And this is like match game. You get to choose A or B. Joe, two choices. You can pick whichever one you want. First is a match involving our dear fellow podcaster, Road Warrior Animal. You can do that one, or you can do a match from the pregame show for Starrcade 91. Your choice. Ken will do the other one. Okay.
Let's watch the animal match.
All right. Great. So everybody, if you go to your YouTube and type in Road Warriors Freebirds Cage, you will magically be whisked away to the first option that comes up should be the Road Warriors versus Freebirds cage match, and the under the account of Born to Fight 92. Are we there? Yeah. Everybody's with me? Okay. So yeah, let me go ahead and pull this. All right, and I think we're going to start at 0 seconds. At least that's the goal. Oh, excuse me, I have to skip a survey. Thank you. Okay. Yep. All right, so there we go, back to one. Okay, I'm going to get it back to 0 seconds. You're not going to believe who this guy is who's opening the shot. Well, actually, you might. I don't know. Okay, stop it. Okay, pause at 0 seconds with a young fellow named Jim Cornette and a bunch of fuzzy static. Are we all there?
Heck yes.
Okay, yes. Road Warriors versus Freebirds. This took place on TBS, July 14th, 1989, NWA Power Hour, there at the Cobb County Civic Center in Marietta, Georgia. Everybody, let's hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Okay, so there's a reason. Now, Jim Ross and Jim Cornette are the hosts of the NWA Power Hour. It's Friday nights on TBS. There's a reason why Jim Cornette is in a separate part of the arena, and Jim Ross is standing by with not Jim Cornette's favorite person, Mr. Paul Heyman, a.k.a. Paulie Dangerously. It's a big cage match coming up here. It's supposed to be the Legion of Doom and the Samoan SWAT team. Paul Heyman is managing the Samoan SWAT team. So here we go. And yes, that's Paul Heyman.
Look at that head of hair.
Look at that Batman shirt. He's trying to be Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely tremendous.
Yes. Now, Paul is Okay. So Paul is explaining that the Samoans missed their flight, and they're not here, so they're not going to be able to be in the cage match. Yes.
It happens.
Yes.
Right. Is that a true thing, or were they getting ready to leave? Or
well, no, okay, they're not getting ready to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is sort of a this is something that is mentioned on the Great American Bash 89 show, which we did a long time ago. This is part of the build up for that show. However, Paul, don't worry. Don't worry. Polly Dangerously heard from the Freebirds, and the Freebirds have agreed to take the cage match in the place of the Samoans. and don't worry, and the Road Warriors don't like the Freebirds and haven't for years, so it all works out here. Okay, yep. All right.
It all comes out in the wash.
All right, and there's Rhubarb Jones as your ring announcer, who I believe was a DJ in the Atlanta area. Which is why you needed him to ring announce. But he made the trip with him to Marietta. So this is of course the original when they used actual songs and not, you know, WCW ran theme music. Yes, that's Lynyrd Skynyrd, Freebird. And yes, it's the Freebird combination rarely seen of Jimmy Garvin and Terry Gordy.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Yeah, you're gonna see more than your share of ECW people in this, Joe.
Kidding.
Okay. There they are.
I think at some point in my life, Pat, I've made the joke that my all-time favorite Freebird tag team was Jimmy Jam Garvin and Terry Gordy.
And now you see.
But I didn't think that it actually ever happened. That's why it was such a solid joke.
Yes, it is. But it has.
Hmm.
And yep, and Black Sabbath plays, Iron Man plays, and, you know, guess what? Wow. The Road Warriors actually show up.
Yeah. Is this usual for them to have a cage match on a TV show like this?
No, it's very unusual. That's kind of a hint that something is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially especially with two, you know, well known teams like this. So here we go.
Yeah, I was thinking precisely the same thing, Joe.
Plus, this is the Friday night TBS show, which pretty much usually exists to, like, set up angles and matches for WCW Saturday show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So here we go. And yes, this cage match is going to have actual tags in it. So.
Yeah.
But a Friday night throwaway show like this was pretty much the week's highlight for a guy like me who didn't have a date on Friday night.
Yes. And by the way, we're recording this on Friday night, just so everybody knows.
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay. All right, here we go. Yeah. All right. Yes. All right, but yeah, Jimmy Garvin's gonna win the lockup with Animal. Yeah. That seems likely. All right, there we go.
Animal was a freakishly strong guy in real life. He was incredibly strong.
Yes.
Right. He had something like a legit 605-pound bench press at his peak.
That's true.
Yeah.
And he can definitely definitely curl a Jimmy Garvin, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, at some point you'd think that Garvin might want to tag in, I don't know, Terry Gordy, who's sitting right there.
Yeah, one might think.
Yeah, this is definitely getting set up for the Great American Bash. And is that mustached Nick Patrick or Mike Adkins? That's hard to tell.
I think it was. Yeah, it's Nick.
Okay.
I'm pretty
sure.
Oh,
there's the boot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so. Yeah. All right, here we
Forgive
go.
Forgive me, guys. Is Jimmy Garvin still alive?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was just wondering how many guys in this match were still with us.
That'll be Jimmy Garvin and Nick Patrick.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And Jim Ross on commentary.
True. Well, Polly Dangerously is still alive.
That's true, but he's not part of this match.
Okay.
What was Gordy doing at this time? Was he starting in Japan and spent a lot of time over there? Was America his second place to go? Or?
Yeah, Japan was his primary, but he was spending. Yeah. But he had a few months to spend in America, so they did this bit where he came back and helped Michael Hayes win the U.S. title, and, you know,
right,
helped set up the Freebirds as one of the top tag teams. And yeah, and it helped transition because, you know, Hayes and Garvin had teamed somewhat regularly, but they had never been the Freebirds.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
This is just a few years shy of Gordy's peak when he wrestled as the Executioner.
Yeah, that's Oh, there we go.
That was the zenith of his pro wrestling.
That was so memorable. We haven't done that big Undertaker versus Executioner match. I'm sure we'll get to it any month now. Into the corner.
Can't wait.
All right. And a big drop. There we go. Ooh.
Ooh.
Big meat hook of Terry Gordy. We're on the Superstation, and it's in stereo, guys.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Live and in Technicolor.
Yep. All right. Oh, you know, Garvin. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, but at least he's not actually. You know, at least he doesn't actually hurt. So. Yeah. Hawk is taking the heat. Oh, here comes Gordy. And yep. Okay, and Ross, of course, is plugging Saturday night and main event on Sunday night and doing all those Jim Ross things that he always did on TBS.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
But I mean, this you know, this building is packed and everybody's standing. And when you have Terry Gordy in there, that's somebody who can definitely match up with either of the Road Warriors.
Absolutely. And if a shoot fight breaks out for no good reason, you know that Gordy can handle himself.
Yeah, yeah. If there's an alley fight of any sort, you probably want Terry on your side. Yes.
Oh yeah.
And if you read Mick Foley's first book, he tells a great story about fighting with Terry Gordy in Japan, I think it was, and in Global too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had that thumbtack match. King of the Deathmatch tournament.
Yes. So they do the press conference talking about it, and Gordy goes to him after the match. Bro, I didn't know nothing about no thumbtacks. Oh wow. Yep. I like the camera shot right there. You know, on the cage.
Get to see that angle. Yeah.
That's something you can do. Is that Michael Hayes at ringside? It looks like he is. Yeah, it looks like he is at ringside. Finally. Yep. All right.
Oh, the old no sell on the pile driver.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say Hawk sure loves no selling the pile driver, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Ooh. Two. But yeah, they've gone pretty much toe to toe with the Road Warriors, which happens rarely. All right. Yeah, the only disappointing part about this, it's not at the era where we have the Ruse turnbuckles. With the Coors Light turnbuckles.
That's right.
I'm surprised we haven't seen that pulled off by a wrestling promotion yet. You know, sponsoring the turnbuckle pads again.
It's a good idea. Is Ruse still in business?
I don't believe so for some reason.
What was that?
Shoes.
I remember Ruse shoes. It was shoes, okay. I saw someone post an ad earlier with Flair, the Road Warriors, Luger, and Sting in it or something. And it was a Ruse ad.
Yep.
And I didn't know what it was.
It was shoes. It was like, you know, Stride Rider. I don't know what another good analogy was, but it's you know, the lower priced sneakers for kids.
Bobos.
Yeah. Crocs. No, it's not Crocs. Okay. Oh, yep. Yeah. Amazingly, Garvin was not able to put his man away with the sleeper here.
Shocking.
I know. I guess Teddy Long is the outside the cage referee. I think that's Terry. No, I thought Teddy Long. Never mind. No, just a bald referee.
Pretty good.
Oh, there we go. And both men are down. Yeah, this match isn't on the network. Hopefully one day, long into the future, we'll get it. Oh, there's a tag. All right, Animal.
You gonna throw that big drop kick?
Yes, he is. Yep. I think the referee has lost control of this one, and that's strength right there, being able to get him over like that. Because Terry Gordy is great, but he can't power slam himself.
No, definitely not. Forgive my ignorance, but we are recording this a couple days after the death of Road Warrior Animal. How did he die? Did they release a cause of death?
Natural causes was the only thing that I have heard, and that the family has released. So,
no, I haven't heard anything yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just saw that on his Twitter. It was like 7 hours before he posted a picture of his wife. And it said, happy anniversary, baby, or whatever. And then just 7 hours later, the announcement came. I was like, damn, he just died. Like that overnight, you know?
Yeah, I saw that first thing in the morning. Oh, look, it's the Samoans. They're here after all. What a surprise. And that, is that Tommy Young giving up the key? Yep. Oh, they've got the key to the cage. Well, how about that?
They must have caught a later flight, you know?
Yeah, they must have. So, yes. Yes, this was all to set up the tag team war games at the Great American Bash 89. And in the build-up to this, this is known as, according to Jim Ross, the Marietta Massacre. Because it's five, the Road Warriors are in there, and it's 5-on-2. If you count Dangerously, I guess it's 6-on-2. I don't know.
Yeah. So that's Fatu and...
Samu, yes.
Samu, okay.
Well, yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. I think we're still at Fatu and Samu. Yeah.
And when they came in as the head shrinkers, it was those two guys?
Yes, those are the two head shrinkers, yes.
I know there were some changes in there where Tonga Kid might have been a part of the SWAT team. And
right.
Yeah, Barbarian, the head shrinkers later
on. Later in 89, Tonga Kid came in as the Samoan Savage.
The Savage, right. Right.
Oh, here we go. Because
around now, I'd be 7 or 8 years old watching this on in my grandmother's back bedroom on her small TV. She had, cable, so I would always make sure.
Cable's wonderful, yes.
Yeah, watch the TBS and whatnot when I was there on the weekends.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying this was filmed a long time ago, but Michael P.S. Hayes is actually in respectable physical condition.
Yeah. Oh, look. Yeah. Okay. So what? The enhancement guys are coming in, and Hayes is beating him up one at a time because they're coming in one at a time.
Marietta Massacre. Nice.
Now somebody's going to come in and make the save. Who is that? Who's going to come in and make the save? Is that? Nope. Well, I don't know. Whoever it was, he did not make the save. Yes. Let's get a referee in there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So guys coming out of the back to make. Yeah. Yeah. The enhancement guys coming in one at a time. That's into the cage. That's going to make a huge difference, folks.
Is Heyman in an all white suit?
Oh yeah. He's in the white sport jacket with the Batman shirt on. Yeah,
fashion
Batman,
plate.
Batman T-shirt. Now the referees are in. The referee's like, no, please stop. Oh. Hawk is busted open. I'm gonna guess Animal's busted open also. Although it can't. Oh, he's been handcuffed to the rope, something like that. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. There it is. All right. A great moment in wrestling history. Or at the very least, a moment. So, anyway, thank you very much for that. And, Road Warrior Animal will be missed. All right. So, anyway, for our purposes, we're talking about Starrcade 91. It is December 29th, 1991, a Sunday. Starrcade 91 Battle Bowl is taking place at the Scope in Norfolk, Virginia. We'll have more on that in just a moment. Meanwhile, the WWF, it's a Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the year. It's their big money week in terms of house shows, so WWF decided to have 4 house shows this Sunday, the 29th, to compete with Battle Ball, with Starrcade. The A-Show crew, they did their matinee in New York City at Madison Square Garden to be broadcast on New Year's Eve on the MSG Network. 11,000 people turned out at the Garden to see, among other things, Intercontinental Champion Bret Hart, defending against Ted DiBiase. They went to a 20-minute draw, and that match actually a very good match. It wound up big. It'll be on primetime if they ever finish out the string of primetimes that are on the network. And in the main event, Hulk Hogan beat Ric Flair by countout. There was no WWF champion at this time because the title had been vacated. The winner of the Royal Rumble would wind up being the champion. The evening show, they all went to Worcester, Massachusetts. I say they all did, except that Hulk Hogan didn't go, so the main event was Ric Flair beating Roddy Piper by countout, and the final match was actually Intercontinental Champion Bret Hart defeating Ted DiBiase by disqualification. Probably still a good show. Meanwhile, the B-Show crew went to the Palace of Auburn Hills in Auburn Hills, Michigan, suburban Detroit. 5,500 showed up to see The Undertaker defeat Jim Duggan after whacking Duggan with the urn. Undertaker's still a heel at this point. And in the main event, Randy Savage defeated Jake Roberts. What was notable about this, according to the magazines, Miss Elizabeth not present at ringside. Go figure. And for the evening show, they went to suburban Chicago at the Rosemont Horizon and gave everybody the exact same show. But yeah, those are your headliners. Hogan and Flair doing the A show with Piper filling in when Hogan didn't make it, and Randy and Jake doing the B show, and that's good stuff, I'd say. All right, it is 1991, so the rest of the American wrestling scene not so good. The Global Wrestling Federation had their big taping in Dallas, Texas, at the Sportatorium on Friday night, the 27th. They also did Friday night tapings. But they drew their biggest Sportatorium crowd in the global era of 1,400 people. That's exciting.
Ooh, nice.
And it is a loaded show. The North American title on the line. The Patriot, the North American champion, defeated Scott Anthony 2-1. And who is Scott Anthony, Joe?
That would be Scotty the Body, Johnny Polo, Raven.
That's right. But that's not the main event. The main event is the 2-out-of-3-falls battle for the Global Tag Team titles, in which Hollywood John Tatum and Rugged Rod Price dropped the titles to Cowboy Bill Irwin and Black Bart.
Yes. I must say, I was an enormous fan of Hollywood John Tatum, I am not kidding.
No, who didn't love Hollywood John Tatum? Yeah,
he was hilarious, I thought. So.
Yeah, we need more global on the network. If somebody could take care of that for us, instead of the virtually none we have now, WWE Network. Oh, also on the show, also at that taping, there was a match between the Lightning Kid and Jerry Lynn, and that match killed. And I believe it's on hidden. I believe it's on the network right now under Hidden Gems. If you want to go watch it.
Outstanding.
Yes, that was good. That was very good. Oh yes, the USWA is still in business. So. On Saturday night, December the 28th, they're at the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis. And on that big show, it was the Moondogs successfully defending the USWA Tag Team titles by defeating Jeff Jarrett and Robert Fuller. Yes, that's correct. Same Robert Fuller who is around in MLW today, I believe. And they had a one-night tournament to see who would get the next title shot at the USWA Unified Champion Kamala, which was won by... Any guesses?
Could it be Jerry Lawler?
Very good. Yes. Jerry Lawler won a one-night tournament at the Mid-South Coliseum. Actually, Lawler wasn't the booker. The booker was Eric Embry, and Eric Embry was, I believe, was not there. He was taking the week off. All right. And meanwhile, over on WCW, WCW main event was the pregame show for this pay-per-view airing at 6:05 on Sunday night on TBS, as everybody from that era could tell you. On that show, it was Van Hammer and Cactus Jack fighting to a double countout. Yes, I said heavy metal Van Hammer, yes. And Rick Rude, and the main event, the U.S. champion Rick Rude, defeated Firebreaker Chip in a non-title affair.
Outstanding.
And if you want to see another, and if you want to experience another match from that show with us, sign on to the Patreon. It'll be up there, something special that Ken and I are doing that we'll do after the show. All right. Meanwhile, now, at the Norfolk Scope, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm gonna say, I went out of my way to not look this up or anything, so I don't know what we have coming first hour. But I find it interesting that that Rick Rude, who had just jumped from WWE a couple of months before, well, you know, was the hottest heel in the company, basically, and the U.S. champion, right?
Yeah.
Is on the pre-show of Starrcade, which should be the biggest show of the year. I don't know if Rick comes out later or whatever, but that stands out to me. Like, why would Rude be on the pre-show? You know?
Well, the pre-show was just another episode of WCW main event. It's like the era where they, you know, it's sort of like the era where they started pre-taping the Sunday Night Heat that would come before the WWE pay-per-views.
Okay, I got
you. So, yeah, so the matches were taped at Center Stage, and there are wrestlers on the pre-show, like Rick Rude, Firebreaker Chip, who we're going to see at Battle Bowl.
Okay.
Because Battle Bowl has 40 wrestlers in it.
Mm-hmm.
The top 40 wrestlers in there. There is a last-minute scratch. Scott Hall, a.k.a. the Diamond Stud, was injured. He'll be replaced on this by the Night Stalker, a.k.a. Chronic Brian Adams, a.k.a. Adam Bomb.
Yeah.
Okay, so, wait, no, Chronic Brian Clark, excuse me.
Brian Clark, yeah.
Thank you.
Wrath.
Wow, a.k.a. Wrath, very good. All right, so we're at 0 minutes and 0 seconds. I've got a black screen. Everybody ready? Everybody's with me?
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, the first hour of Battle Bowl. Joe Feeney has never seen it before, and we're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Yep. Here we go. Let's, hold on. In stereo, we're available. Yes. You got the WCW feeling right there. Oh, look at who's on this.
I know.
Not a name. Oh, Oz.
Oz, yes, that's right. The great and powerful Oz is on this one. Todd Champion's on this one. Arachnaman, yes. El Gigante. My goodness. And Abdullah the Butcher. The Scope is at the time a beautiful arena for wrestling. Also for minor league hockey.
Certainly is. My goodness.
9,000 in attendance. And you got the ramp. I always love the WCW ramp. Oh, there's some fans there.
Oh, yeah.
If everybody doesn't mind, date yourselves. How old were you when this pay-per-view was going on? I was 15.
I was 21.
Okay. I would have been 10.
Okay.
Screw you.
Yeah, seriously. We do get a good announcing team in the form of Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone, who I believe won the Wrestling Observer Award for best announced team in that year.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. Yeah,
they didn't always get along in real life, but together they worked very well. Plus, it allowed guys like Paul Heyman, who would normally be doing color, to actually work as a manager on the pay-per-view.
Sure.
Oh, Magnum TA and Missy Hyatt are standing by with Eric Bischoff to draw the names out of the tumbler there.
Heck yes.
That is some hair on Missy Hyatt.
And Eric, too.
Yeah. Oh. Wow. I know. Who doesn't like
Missy Hyatt? An absolutely gorgeous woman at this time.
Who interacts with us on Twitter, especially if you ask her, like we did about her UWF appearance for Herb Abram, where her response was, Herb did a lot of cocaine and nobody got paid. So. look, all the wrestlers are on the stage. Yes, this makes them look like badasses, doesn't it?
A couple of fireworks glitches there, too.
Yeah, no, fortunately, nobody caught fire as far as I know.
Yeah.
Okay, so the idea is you pick out the ping pong balls, the first two ping pong balls, they're a tag team. They take on whoever the next two ping pong balls are in a tag match right away. The winners of the match qualify for the 20-man Battle Bowl Battle Royal at the end of the night to win the Battle Bowl ring. I think I just explained that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
Now, I don't know about this one, but I think, again, you mentioned, we were talking earlier, you mentioned Mick Foley's book.
Yeah.
I think Mick said that when they did this under Watts actually did this as a shoot.
Oh, the 92 one. Yeah, he did.
That's crazy.
Well, here we go. Well, yeah. Michael Hayes and Tracy Smothers are teaming together.
Oh.
Excellent.
Here's the thing, though. Like, back in 1991, you didn't see all these main event matches on television all the time. It wasn't a case where all the top guys had constantly wrestled all the other top guys. So there really was a novelty about seeing, tandems that you would never otherwise see.
So, yes, it is Buff Bagwell, Marcus Bagwell, and Jimmy Garvin against Tracy Smothers and Michael Hayes. And yes, the Freebirds are on opposite sides of the opening match.
And Tracy is a heel.
The Young Pistols. Well, I think at this point, that's right.
Yeah, I don't remember those guys being heels.
They were. They turned them heel. After, they were the Southern Boys, then they were the Young Pistols, and then they turned the Young Pistols heel. And the Young Pistols feuded with the Patriots for a good chunk of 91 and 92. Yes, the Patriots, both of whom are in Battle Bowl, by the way. All right.
I think that won the Observer Feud of the Year, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think so. All right, so each match is a 20-minute time limit. If they go to a 20-minute draw, according to Jim Ross, nobody advances to the battle royal.
Now, are the Freebirds baby faces here?
I'm trying to remember.
They're getting the crowd to cheer there, and it just
Actually, I think they are. Yeah. Okay. So the Freebirds are the baby faces. Bagwell's a baby face. Tracy Smothers is a heel. Look at these. Oh, wow. Okay. Now those are some wrestling fans. Normally Jim Valley does the crowd watching, but I mean,
yeah.
Does that not look like a wrestling crowd?
Oh yeah,
certainly does.
Oh, they're selling programs. Well, who wouldn't want a Battle Bowl program? I guess they did Battle Bowl at Starrcade 92, but they didn't do the whole 40-man Battle Royal because they did other matches on the show. And they did a 16-man version of Battle Bowl, if I remember correctly. Yes, that's as exciting as it sounds. Yes. Michael Hayes doing the tomahawk chop for the Atlanta Braves, which is good because, you know, Ted Turner owned the Braves and WCW. Not so good as because they're in Norfolk, Virginia, which is not Georgia.
Dear.
Is that Mike Adkins or is that Pee Wee? That might be Pee Wee Anderson. No,
that's Adkins, right?
Yeah, Mike Adkins, yeah.
Buff or Marcus or Bagwell or whatever, he must have been really new and young at this point because 91, you know, I don't know when he came in, but he was 91 a master.
91 was when he came in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he was coming up from Global then, right? And Georgia Indies and whatnot.
And for whatever reason, they used his actual name, like not just Mark Bagwell, Marcus Alexander Bagwell, and thought that's a babyface move.
Yeah, no, I think Mark Bagwell would have worked way better for the kid.
Just a little bit, yeah. Also, you had Jim Ross being able to plug his background playing high school football for Sprayberry High School in Georgia. Of course, I'm not making that up.
No.
I have to tell it to the listeners. Believe it or not, there are listeners who haven't. Believe it or not, we have listeners to this show who have sometimes never seen these matches before. It's hard to believe.
It was a Sprayberry Yellow Jackets? Was that?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, even though even though it doesn't have as big a crowd as WWF drew at the Garden, that looks full.
Absolutely, it does. Having the second ring there on the floor helps out quite a bit, but yeah.
They didn't have the power plant back then, so Tony Schiavone's talking about how Mike Graham has been helping train Buff Bagwell. Mike Graham would take the young wrestlers over to Jody Hamilton's wrestling school, and that's where they would train.
No kidding.
Yep. Hey.
Well, Bagwell looks terrific here. He's fast. He's explosive.
Yeah,
great shape.
It was a big change when he went to Buff Bagwell. That had been sort of brewing for a while. But yeah, that was his breakout moment. Okay, so here we go. He's telling him to tag in Jimmy Garvin. I want Garvin. Okay, babyface Jimmy Garvin. There he goes. Up. Oh. All right, Tracy. Tracy Smothers is awesome, as always.
Yeah.
You really.
Oh, here we go. The strut. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Good job, Tracy. Drop down. Yep.
These guys are really moving.
Yeah.
They really are, aren't they?
Well, after this match, they can rest for the rest of the night and just work a battle royal. And that's just the winners.
Yeah.
One thing which Dave Meltzer mentioned in the write-up of in the Observer is whoever the director was just kept missing shots like that one. So. So people at home were relying more than usual on Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we don't know what we're going to get the rest of the night. You're getting 10 tag matches and then the battle royal.
And who thunk it? All these years later, and Ross and Shivani are still together.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I mean, part of the reason that, that Tony went to WCW and left WCW in the first place and went to WWF is, you know, is Jim Ross had been chosen as the A manager, as the A announcer over him, and mm-hmm. Tony just wanted to get away.
Sure.
Yep. Oh, there he goes. Up, oh, Tracy went over the top rope, which I believe back then was still a disqualification, but they're going to say that he that Garvin didn't throw him over deliberately.
Momentum.
The momentum took him over.
And who'd have thunk it all these years later and Jimmy Garvin still has all that glorious hair?
Right. Yeah, that's very, that's a good one. Oh, hot, hot tag to Bagwell. Here we go. Yes. And boy, you just know that that young man, Marcus Bagwell, is going to have a long and glorious future in this sport.
No.
Well, at least for the next 10 years or so.
It's funny because I think he's about a 6-footer, but he looks kind of short compared to the rest of the guys, Bagwell.
Yeah, yeah, he does. But, I mean, he's got the hair's still tremendous, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, hot tag to Michael Hayes. Okay.
Mm. Gorgeous back elbow from Michael Hayes.
Yeah, part of the I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say Michael Hayes makes all the little stuff look good, you know?
Yeah. Okay. All right, so yeah, oh, Bagwell's talking to him. Yeah. Yep. Okay. That was that was something.
I would like to rescind my previous comment there.
I mean, this is the Battle Bowl is something that, you know, if anybody at WWE was paying attention, when you have a 3-hour Raw to fill each week, this is something you could use to fill a 3-hour Raw. Yeah. I know it sounds crazy.
Well, you'd think with Cody wanting to use some of the WCW concepts and names and whatnot, then maybe we'll see a Battle Bowl type stipulation on AEW one of these nights or one of these months.
That's a possibility. I wouldn't rule it out. I'm guessing they're going to wait until, you know, until social distancing isn't such a big thing, but yeah. Okay. Yeah, and then Tony's pointing out the possibility that somebody, you know, if you're on a winning team, but you still get injured in this match, you have to go into the Battle Royal injured. Huh. Or just take yourself out of the battle, out of the Battle Royal. All right, Tracy.
Look at that absolutely beautiful head of hair on Marcus. I am so jealous of that.
Hair helmet.
Yeah. Well, Ken, I know we'd like talking about your hair, Ken, but we should probably also talk about your business. Ken and Tech's Pet Care of Bangor, Maine, sponsor of Wayback Playback, the finest pet care in the Bangor, Maine area. Go to Ken and Tech, KENANDTEK.com. And also, I believe, Facebook and Instagram at Ken and Tech. Is that right, Ken?
Absolutely. Finest on the Eastern Seaboard, Pat. Let's go that far. Finest on the Eastern Seaboard. Mm-hmm. Ken and Tech's Pet Care, absolutely tremendous at what we do. And when I say we, I basically mean me. I'm a one-man operation. I'm a one-man show, providing dog walking, pet sitting, check-ins for your cats, whatever you need. I'm the guy to call. KENANDTEK.com. Yeah, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook as well. I don't spam you. I don't put out a whole lot of nonsense. No, you just get to see photos, really good photos of the absolutely adorable pets that I take care of, the dogs that I walk, the cats that I check in on. It's just it's the happiest place on the internet, damn it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Oh, Hayes and Garvin locking up and, you know. They're showing respect. Yep.
And I've been a proud sponsor of the Wayback Playback now for what, a couple of years, and I hope to be for several years to come.
Yep. Well, we hope so too, Ken. Love having you. And you've been a big help as we've been waiting for Jim Valley to complete his recovery and come back to us. Yep. Here we go. Thank you. Hayes and Garvin. Yeah. Oh, Strut.
Now, which one of those two is going to be the first to poke the other guy in the eye or stomp on his foot?
That's the question. That's the question everybody's wondering.
I'm thinking Hayes.
Garvin, those are some fine tights on Garvin, I got to say.
Yeah. Hmm. He wasn't. He was done not that shortly, but I don't remember anything Jimmy Garvin related in '93 on, right?
He became an airline pilot. Yeah.
Yeah. So he quit probably '92.
Yeah, I think that he was gone. I want to say late '92, maybe early '93. Yeah. Yeah, late '92. Well, yeah, he was gone. Actually, maybe in the middle of '92, because they were trying to make Hayes into a manager.
Mm-hmm.
And WWF did make Hayes into a manager.
Yeah.
Yep. There we go. Oh, yep. They both tagged out. All right. Yeah, there you go. Standing ovation for the Freebirds. Of course, it was when they tagged out, but still.
How much higher?
That's nice.
How much higher could Michael Hayes have pulled up those tights? My goodness.
I don't know. It's those are the Fred Mertz collection of tags there.
Looking like Mil Máscaras.
Yep. Oh, there we go. Quick tag to Garvin.
Right. Tracy Smothers was really, really good, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah. For a long time. Yes.
Just watching his work in here, he was tremendous.
Mm-hmm. He was a lot of fun in ECW as well.
Yep. Full-blooded Italian.
I don't think I ever had a proper appreciation or even realization of just how good he was.
Well, I mean that's one of the things it's one of the things you get by watching this old stuff. Oh, Hayes accidentally hit Garvin with the left hand.
Oops.
Uh-oh. Buddy.
You dirty dog.
Yeah, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean. Oh, here we go. Look, Tracy's going up. Well, okay, I thought for a second we were going to get a moonsault. We did not.
So did I.
Oh, perfect play.
Fisherman suplex. Wow. Marcus's finisher, and that's it. So your winners advancing to Battle Bowl, Marcus Bagwell and Jimmy Garvin. And Hayes and Smothers are done for the night. Oh, well.
Hayes is so happy to be done for the night.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. Okay.
He's going to go kick back.
There is a lot of Jack Daniels to be consumed.
Oh, absolutely.
Fire one up, pop a couple tops.
Wow, that was...
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know, Tracy.
See what would happen there, but he went towards the knees. And I don't think... Marcus didn't look like he put them up. No. That was all Tracy.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Yep, stealing a finisher from a WWF guy, that's normal. Wow, those are some monitors there, folks.
That was better than I thought. It was a better opener. Yep. When I saw those two teams, I was kind of like, I don't know, but better than I thought.
That's okay. We're going to have some I don't know moments coming up here, I promise.
I don't know.
Let's see. Tony's hearing something in his headset, or? Well, I like this camera angle because it shows they're not reading from anything.
Right.
Let's go back up on stage and see the next matchup being drawn. Wow. They've moved everybody into the locker rooms, the babyface locker room and the heel locker room. Who could it be?
My goodness.
Stunning Steve Austin. Who better on episode 316 than Stunning Steve Austin? And his partner, Ravishing Rick Rude.
Wow.
That's a team, folks.
More was that Ricky Morton in the heel?
Yes.
So he's on the York Foundation, or
yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it is the team of his opponents are a team of Big Josh, who is Matt Bourne, and Van Hammer.
Hmm.
Oh, did I give that away too soon? No, I guess not.
Can I just say I'm not sure whose hair I'm the most envious of right now: Bischoff, Missy's, or Magnum TA's?
Bischoff has always had great hair.
I was going to say, probably not Zabisco or Arn. No. Probably not too jealous of this.
Likely not.
So Rude and Austin are both in the Dangerous Alliance stable.
Yeah.
Look how young and skinny Paul Heyman looks. right.
Oh, God.
Heavy Metal Van Hammer. Oh, yes. Speaking of the TV tapings, he was one of our favorites. You know, he'd get in the ring and we'd go, and we were in the crowd, and we'd go, oh, here comes the hammer, you know. Can't touch this, dude. You know, all the hammer jokes. Yeah.
Van Hammer.
Still not as good as the night at the Georgia Mountain Center when this one teenage girl held up a sign that said, Van Hammer, come drive my nails. I don't know that made TV.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. Yep, that's Matt Bourne.
I'm looking forward.
Big Josh the Lumberjack.
I'm looking forward to the Rude Hammer combination here, because I get the feeling Rick's going to, you know, slide a couple good shots in there.
He could. I mean, Cactus Jack said, most people thought that he was a, you know, Mark Hildreth, Van Hammer, was a good guy who was just, you know, in the wrong gimmick and sort of a push that he really did. It was too soon for him to get.
There was some story, I think Bischoff may have told it, and DDP, that later on when he was around, I think he was in the Flock, someone beat him up at Page's Christmas party, and I can't remember exactly who it was, but that he was mouthing off to the guy and got you know, pummeled a little bit at that party.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so Austin's the TV's champion, Rude is the U.S. champion. Okay, here we go. Yeah, and Austin, Van Hammer, one of the few guys who's going to make Austin look small out there.
Yeah.
Not in the thighs, though.
Well, no, not in the thighs.
Oh, my goodness.
But these are like the same tights that Austin wore. I mean, the same tights that Austin wore in Texas in the USWA.
Yeah.
Oh, by the guy who beat up Van Hammer at the Christmas party was William Regal.
Ah, well, that tracks, I guess.
No big shock there.
Well, but who wants to talk trash to William Regal, other than Van Hammer? Yes, this is going to be a two-ring battle royal, which is why they have the two rings.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to mention that. Yeah, they're going to. There's going to be the if you're eliminated from the battle royal in the first ring, you go to the second ring. So it's like a double elimination.
Oh, okay.
So and then the person who survives the first ring faces the person who survives the second ring at the end.
Hey, at least it's like you said, it's something different, you know. Yep. And as a kid, I remember going, "That's pretty cool." That concept, you know, the random partners and everything.
Yep, I agree with that. I'm just not sure it needed to be on Starrcade, which is supposed to be WCW's biggest show of the year.
No, it should have been its own thing. Maybe in January or something like that, or February.
Well, in 1993, they did make Battle Ball into its own thing, and they decided never to do that again.
Look at that clothesline.
Rude.
My goodness.
Yep. Where's the Warrior? He's not. The Ultimate Warrior's not there.
He wasn't anywhere right now.
At this point, no, he was not. He was,
He's in parts unknown.
That's right. Okay. Rude. Yes. And yes, Sting is feuding with Rick Rude, for those of you who missed that, over the U.S. title. The other big feud is Luger and Rick Steiner. Wow.
Yeah. So the world champion's Luger.
Yeah, Luger's the champion.
As a heel, right?
Rick Steiner's the guy he's feuding with. Tag titles are Rhodes and Steamboat. Steamboat and Dustin Rhodes. And they're feuding with the Dangerous Alliance. I believe Arn and Bobby Eaton are getting the title shots at house shows, and they're going to be the main tag team for the Dangerous Alliance.
When did Steamboat leave WWE? That was 91, right?
That was 91, yeah. They asked him to do like a, I believe they,
stretcher job.
They asked him to do a stretcher job. I think they asked him to do a 2-minute job for The Undertaker on TV, and he just wasn't, he just like, no thanks.
They wanted him to do two stretchers in the same night. If I remember
like
this,
that. Yeah,
and one of them was for Undertaker, but I don't remember because he was on SummerSlam. I'm trying to think. I don't think he was. There was a big gap in between leaving WWE and going to WCW. Is what I mean.
No, just a few months, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh. It was a pretty cool surprise when he showed up in WCW then.
Yeah. And he did it both times.
Right.
Both times when he returned was like a surprise, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I like it.
He's no selling punches to the midsection.
Well, he's got the abs.
I guess. Okay. Oh, there we go.
What a team. Rude and Austin. Look at the crowd.
Oh, yeah. Loving this.
Look at the crowd go nuts for Big Josh and Van Hammer.
That's right. Well, that's if I remember correctly, they did the Clash January the next month, and it was Rude and Austin in the main event against, I want to say, Sting and Ricky Steamboat.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. Good times. Good times.
Has Matt Bourne passed away?
Yes.
Yeah. originally CW guy, actually, believe it or not.
Yeah, well, I remember that.
Actually, I think everybody in this match except Van Hammer was an original ECW, so.
Yeah.
Okay. And there we go. Oh, and here comes Austin. Whoa.
And Austin himself's pretty young in the business at this point. Maybe only 2 years at less,
yeah.
I would think.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those situations where WCW, you know, saw the guy in Dallas and they found him right away and pounced on him.
Another thing that younger fans might not realize how quickly he, you know, it might seem like, well, he was a mid-card guy and then he was Stone Cold. No, he came from just, you know, like you said, Dallas. Next thing you know, he's TV champion over here.
Yeah, and it was almost right away that they made him TV champion.
Yeah, big win over Bobby Eaton, right?
Right.
I think it was, yep.
Okay.
He and Eaton had some absolutely terrific matches together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I remember him and Dustin tearing it up a lot back then.
Yep. I mean, how do you have a bad match with Bobby Eaton, I guess, but you know what I'm saying.
Right. Well, yeah, it's hard. And I mean, talk about another guy who had a long career, Bobby Eaton.
Yep.
Okay. Go. Let's see. All right. Now you're seeing also, you know, for a bunch of random tag matches, they're giving them some time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I mean, I know they had a 3-hour pay-per-view to fill, but it's not the deal where, you know, you have the main championship matches that are like 20, 25 minutes and you have shorter undercard matches. These are all kind of, you know, at the same level, I guess, what you'd call it.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm. Oh!
Ooh. Yep. Well, they have gotten across that Rude and Austin work together well.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, somebody chasing down his kid. There we go, in the crowd.
Yeah.
1, 2, no.
No. Classic.
Yep. Oh, no, down goes Josh. Okay. But here we are. Up there, they're putting the boots to Josh. And it's a good idea to let Josh carry most of the work there.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
But it's also a good idea to showcase, you know, two of your main guys in Rude and Austin.
Absolutely.
Nope. Huh. Okay. So, yeah, let's see. I guess the guys people are waiting for are, you know, people are waiting to see what Luger and Sting and the Steiners are up to, and yeah. Oh, there we go, chinlock. Right.
When did he come out to the ring with the bear, the grizzly bears? Didn't he?
Oh gosh, I don't remember that one. I mean, I don't remember. I know it happened. At least I I just don't remember exactly when.
I just remember reading they were you know, voiding their bladders all the way up to the ring. So
well, that's what you want.
Yeah, quite a sight for the front row folks on the side of the ramp.
You know, WCW, they always had their fingers on the pulse of what wrestling fans wanted.
Ugh. Yeah, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't say that animals should not be used as props.
Nope, absolutely not. And not over and out. Okay.
That would be about 9 years later that they actually let Scott Steiner walk a tiger.
Yes, that ring. Was.
that's a little dangerous, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. That wouldn't have been my first choice, no. Everybody in the locker room is obviously just enraptured by these matches.
There's a Diamond Stud with his sling. As you mentioned, he had an injury.
Right. Well, yep. Sadly, couldn't make it. Okay, and yeah, I mean, just from the wrestling we watched today, you know, these rest holds occasionally just seem random.
Yeah. Van Hammer's not respecting the tag rope.
No, he's
rules
not.
Are, he's way out.
Well, he's trying to cheer on his
his
partner. I guess you'd call him. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Van Hammer, not the wrestler's wrestler.
No, I would say not.
Not exactly the worker's worker. Mm-hmm.
What do you think those front rows were running you back then? A cool $20, maybe?
I mean, maybe as high as 40. I don't know, for a pay-per-view. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Oh.
Here we go. All right, Josh.
Yep, shouldn't have made the tag.
No. Oh, well. That's a shame. No, I'm still looking. I'm trying to find Big Josh, WCW, and Bears.
Watch it, Paul. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, Paul Heyman got involved, and it ended badly, gosh darn it. Badly for Paulie Dangerously.
And it looks like the lights dimmed a little bit there. They might have had a lighting issue for a moment.
Yeah, well, it's WCW, so that sort of thing certainly
could happen. Oh, yeah, now see it's brighter again.
There we go. Ugh. Well, maybe that's the go-home sign.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, well, yeah, we'll just dim the lights when we want you to go home. Yeah.
Yeah, it works better than a pencil in the mouth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not exactly subtle.
But no.
Yeah. Well, we could have an earpiece. But no, we'll just cut the lights.
Yeah. Oof.
Oh man. Yeah, Austin and Hammer, Van Hammer and Steve Austin are the legal men.
That they are.
Oh, can't wait do a minute. That. Nope.
Oh.
Oh,
I guess not, huh?
I guess not. Did he make a blind tag?
Yeah,
let's say that he made a blind tag. Yep. Mm-hmm. Hey. Oh, Super Brawl. The first Super Brawl was when he made the entrance with the Bears.
Ah, okay.
We have not done Super Brawl 1, so that's why we... Hard to believe.
Was that the same night he was in the handcuffs and he ripped the handcuffs apart? Or
is it Super Brawl 1 in 2 months?
No, 91. No, 91. It's
okay.
Happened.
So Super right. Brawl. Yeah, Super Brawl 2 is Sting Luger for the belt, right?
Yes, it is.
Just before Lex.
All right, so we've got now four people in the Battle Bowl, and that is Garvin, Bagwell, Rude, and Austin. Actually, not bad. Right, Medusa at room 269 of the Holiday Inn. Nice. Ooh. Key under the mat. Well,
Gary is not having that.
Nope. Yeah, I don't think that's up. Well, let's get back to the audience.
You don't want to mess with a rent-a-cop. That's for sure.
Well, I'd be more worried about messing with Medusa than I would be with messing with the Rent-A-Cop.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
Who is this? Dustin Rhodes? Will be teaming with? With Richard Morton of the New York Foundation. You might know him as Ricky Morton. Okay. Larry Zbysko, the other team, you have Larry Zbysko. Okay. Larry Zbysko will be teaming with El Gigante. Okay.
Where did Mike Graham just run off to?
I don't know. Mike Graham's calling his bookie to make a bet on the match.
This is an interesting foursome here.
Okay, so Dustin Rhodes and Ricky Morton, heel Ricky Morton against Larry Zbysko and El Gigante. Well, outstanding. Medusa's finally coming to ringside. Hey!
So we had mentioned earlier how unreal it is that Ross and Shivani would still be together doing their thing.
Yes.
Who would have put money down that Dustin Rhodes would still be wrestling?
And Ricky Morton.
Ricky Morton is still wrestling?
Yeah, the Rock and Roll Express, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, well, let me put it this way. Dustin Rhodes is actually, like, in better shape now and at the top of his game.
Yeah, I mean, he's in good shape in 91, but, yeah, he's still in very good shape. You know, I mean, he had a rough bout there.
Yeah.
Sure did.
I mean, I wasn't watching it at the time, but you don't hear too many positive things about his time in TNA as Black Reigns.
No, you don't. He in his book, he associates that with time when he was kind of messed up. So
yeah.
Okay.
But do you know who you hear nothing but good things about?
Who's that?
El Gigante.
Well, I mean, as a guy, yeah. As a wrestler, nice guy. Ted Turner owned the Atlanta Hawks. They went and bought a huge Argentinian basketball player with bad knees. They had a huge, big contract on him. Hey, make him a wrestler.
Yeah, and they had, well, I don't know what his legitimate height was, but they had that advantage where they would say, hey, listen, this guy's 7'7". He's bigger than Andre. He's bigger than their giant, you know.
Well, yeah, and I mean, taller, yes. There was no doubt about it.
I do believe his legit height was 7'7", I think.
Yeah, he was not 8 foot tall as he was billed in the WWF, no.
Well, no, but when you have
they were rounding up, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, Dustin and Larry.
If you have Harvey Whippleman stand like 2 feet behind you as you cut your promos, you can fake people out.
Ah, the crisscross. Here we go. You don't see that anymore. Not
none.
And there's the tag. Richard Morton, you can tell he's a computerized man of the 90s because good job, Ricky.
Yeah.
So he's a computerized heel, but he's still wearing the Rock and Roll Express outfits.
Yeah, and he didn't cut his hair.
Yeah.
I guess Alexander York is not there?
Not with him, no.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, my.
Man, that just looks... Yeah.
Not good.
That looks terrifying.
Yeah.
Landed on his tailbone.
Right. Yeah, what I remember is El Gigante, you know, he gets into the company, and like 1 year later, 91, he's main eventing against Flair on house shows. And you gotta be, yeah.
And if Flair's taking the press off the top, you can imagine how high up in the air he was.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Big backdrops, big everything.
Right. Okay. Let's see here. All
The largest guy I ever wrestled during my crappy indie career was a legit 7-footer.
Ah.
He was 7 feet tall, a little over 400. I cannot imagine going up for a 7'7" choke slam or what have you. That would not be fun.
I mean, Dustin and Larry had worked together for a while here in the tag team feud with Arn and Larry and Dustin and Ricky. And so they worked together well.
Oh, yeah, Zabisco's got his working boots on tonight, doesn't he?
Oh, well, this is Starrcade. I mean, it's the granddaddy of them all. Yeah, it is.
But also Larry Zabisco. So.
Right. I mean, unlike AWA, there's an actual audience.
Oh, that's very true.
There's that devastating spin kick.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember, you know, AWA wound up business at the end of 1990, and Larry comes to WCW early 91, and one of the first matches he's in WCW, he beats Sting. Now, admittedly, he beat Sting by disqualification because Sting wouldn't let go of the Scorpion, but, you know, you were wondering how that was going to affect the WCW top 10 rankings.
I wonder if there was ever any discussion about him bringing the belt or calling himself the AWA champion or something like that.
I get the feeling that they didn't think that would be helpful.
Yeah, I guess not at that point, right?
Yeah.
Like Eddie Gilbert bringing the global North American title or whatever he called it, the global heavyweight title to Memphis too.
Yeah, Eddie did that.
I got caught in a YouTube black hole one night just watching GWF versus USWA, and it wasn't even really GWF.
Right.
You know, they were just using the name.
Mm-hmm. And then years later, they had USWA versus Smoky Mountain.
Yeah.
Larry giving advice to El Gigante. Oh, that was not smart. That was
Watch the hair.
Watch the hair.
Oof, man.
There you go. Oh, double drop kick, sort of.
See you, Larry.
That'll be it.
All right.
I was making fun of Larry Zbysko just a moment ago, but he really was great at what he did.
Yes.
Yeah, he really was.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he spent, you know, he did spend several years trying to get over being the guy who turned on Bruno and making a different character out of himself, and he did that. There you go. Not quite the double drop kick, but it worked.
Nah, so it worked.
Dustin Rhodes and Ricky Morton are going to Battle Ball. So some good choices so far for the Battle Royal. All right, so and now time for what's going to be our final match of this hour, and I'm sure this fourth match will be an absolute classic.
This will be a hell of a main event, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Well, let's see. We've seen 12 of the wrestlers so far. 28 left to choose from. There's some really big names. You know, it could be Brian Pillman, or Arn Anderson, or Lex Luger, or Ron Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the Steiners. The Steiners haven't been called out yet. Yeah.
Did you mention Sting yet?
Oh yeah, Sting. Yeah, he's kind of an important guy. He's kind of the top guy in the company. Yeah.
What was Simmons had been on his own for a while at this point, right?
Yeah, he's babyface Ron Simmons, yeah.
Okay. And Butch Reed's gone.
Yep. Butch Reed had a habit of being gone after a while. All right, so let's see who's next on the list. Here we go. The strongest man in the world, Bill Kazmaier! And his tag team partner, all the way from Japan, Jushin Thunder Liger.
What? That is strange.
Kazmaier and Luger and Liger, excuse me. I wish it was Luger. Luger, Liger. Liger, Luger. Diamond Dallas Page and Mike Graham.
Wow.
Larry's like, well, I can't believe that. Larry's going to hit the showers. Yeah. Oh, boy. Larry's very upset.
Abdul is there. Cactus.
Oh, yeah. Cactus Vader's there. Yeah.
There's Brian Clark.
Yep, there we go. So all guys we're going to see either next week or on the week after that. We're kind of busy here for the next couple of weeks. We got Battle Bowl going on, Lethal Lottery, DDP and Mike Graham. So yeah, Dusty came back as the booker, and wouldn't you know it, Mike Graham gets hired as a wrestler.
Yeah.
And I didn't know Mike Graham's history. I liked Mike Graham as a wrestler. He's doing different stuff. But I don't know how, I don't remember it meshing particularly well with Jushin Liger and Bill Kazmaier. Although I don't really remember anybody meshing well with Bill Kazmaier.
I was going to say.
Another one that's pretty early for DDP. This is probably his first year in the ring, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is DDP, wrestling a match at Starrcade.
Yeah.
His rookie year at age 53.
Right. Jushin,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Jushin Liger, I believe, on Christmas night at the Omni, won the light heavyweight title.
From Brian in 91. Pillman.
Yeah, from Brian.
I was going to ask if that belt was active at this point. Yeah.
It wasn't important enough that, he could wear it to the ring or anything, but yeah.
Jeez.
There we go. Oh, Jushin Liger and Mike Graham. I'm going to guess this is the only time that they... This is a dream match for nobody.
Maybe for Mike Graham.
Mike Graham, he wasn't always the fan of the work rate guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe he spoke Japanese, and that's why he's in there with Liger.
Maybe. I don't know. That's a good theory.
Probably not, though.
Have you ever seen Liger with his shirt off in his younger days as Ichi Yamada?
No, I haven't seen that. I mean, I think you did.
The guy's physique was nuts. Absolutely nuts.
Oh, that's not good. Mike Graham is on his way to the chiropractor's office after that one.
For sure.
What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do to me, man?
My.
What was that? He just got sandbagged there.
Unreal. Yeah, Liger's like, get me out of here.
All right, yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, Jushin. All right, Bill's like, all right, yeah, let's see what you got. Mike is probably thinking about tagging Paige in right now.
I've never seen Bill Kazmaier wrestle, I don't think so.
Never have.
Thank you very much, guys, for...
He main evented a Clash of Champions, I think. I forget who he was teaming with. Him and Rick Steiner against Arn
Anderson.
And Larry. Arn and Larry, yeah.
I remember reading about him teaming with Steiner, for sure. So.
Oh, there we go. Mike Graham's having a great night, everybody.
Night from Mike Graham, for sure.
Kazmaier, terrific power lifter and a promoter of the World's Strongest Man competitions, by all accounts, a very good person, likely had no business in a wrestling ring whatsoever.
So it's Paige and Bill Kazmaier.
I don't think so, Daly. I wonder who was his in Kazmaier, because he was only around a short time anyway, right?
It must have been somebody with a strongman background.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. I mean, wrestling companies could always find a bodybuilder, at some point. Now, Bill Kazmaier, not part of the World Bodybuilding Federation, by the way.
Oh.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Sure is.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what faults the guy has, if he can do that, if he can skin the cat like that, you let him do it.
Steamboat's back. You're going, hey, what the hell, man?
You're stealing my moves.
You stole my bit.
If he comes off the top rope with a flying crossbody, I'm gonna raise hell. Yeah.
Nobody sure does like the bodies.
Oh, well, hold on.
He's going up.
Well, okay. I'll let him do that move. Yeah.
Didn't work as well for him.
Paige without tattoos. Yep. Now would be, yes. And Jim Ross is explaining that now would be a good time for Paige to tag in a mat wrestler like Mike Graham. I don't think Jim Ross has let Mike Graham in on this strategy, though, because. I can just imagine Graham up there listening to this. Screw you, Jim!
Another very strange, you know, foursome out there. You know, yep. Paige, who's very green, and Kazmaier the same.
Oh, wow, that was, yeah. He's, I mean, that's a Randy Savage move, but, he, you know, and, except yep. Randy Savage made it look good. And you know, Jushin Liger and DDP, yes! Wow. He was like, okay, is this guy any good? You can see Liger sizing him up. Well, this guy probably won't make me look bad, so. Well, there we go.
Nice Russian leg sweep.
Yep. All right. Well, you didn't know you were going to see this, did you, Joe?
No, not at all.
Oh, there we go. Ah, leg lariat. And the hot tag to Mike Graham.
Oh, jeez.
Jeez, it's like, no, we're not doing this. Yeah.
Keep it simple for old Mike. He don't know what
there
you're
going to come. There we go. Enziguri, Mike knows Enziguris.
Yeah.
Up. Almost a disqualification.
I mean, you can't do that.
Oh,
nicely done.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Very well done. Yes, if you're not familiar with the story, Mike Graham later on as a road agent for WCW was the guy in 2000 who when Benoit was threatening to leave over Kevin Sullivan becoming the booker, said he was going to slit Benoit's throat, which great idea, by the way, which is what enabled Benoit, which is what convinced WCW brass to give Benoit and his friends their unconditional release so that they didn't get sued.
What a mess.
Yeah. And Mike Graham did a shoot interview where he defended that move. Hey, those guys weren't drawing any money. You know?
Oh, God.
Well, nobody in WCW was drawing any money. So.
Ugh.
Not to be a downer, but Mike Graham took his own life. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was three generations that did.
Three? I mean, Eddie Graham, I know. Mike Graham, I know.
Mike's son.
Oh, that's right. Oh, God. Ugh.
For real.
For real. That's horrible. Yeah. Mike was the third one, yeah. To do it.
I think his son might have went before him.
Yes,
but I'm not
that's
100%.
True. No, that's true.
Okay.
Oh, God. That is ghoulish. That is awful.
That's not the story I wanted to end out the episode on. Let's see a surfboard, folks. There we go. Let's see that. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Did I mention that Liger's really built?
He's incredibly strong. Yeah, but I mean, all this is they're setting up for the Liger versus Pillman feud, which which sets up a pay-per-view match, Super Brawl 2. Oh,
yeah.
Nope.
Oh, the old, Lance Storm eventually used that. Yeah. The Rolling Crown.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And here we go. Nope. He's not going to tap. Nope. Yep. Oh, look at that.
Oh, right. This is some great back and forth action.
Oh, no. Graham's going for another pin.
Oh, boy.
That's smooth as silk.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. All right. Oh, and they're shaking hands. Okay. They're all better now.
Yeah.
It's like. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know the career of Mike Graham very well. I wonder how, you know, rusty he was here because he's definitely sucking wind a little bit, you know?
Yeah. He was obviously a baby face for Florida, you know, when his father ran it and tried to keep it alive afterwards. Didn't go so well. Yep.
Ridged up.
Yeah.
He's getting there. Uh-huh. He's feeling it. He's all warmed up now.
He's ready.
Yeah.
He's like, this Japanese stuff in so hard. You know, my favorite part of Jushin Liger was in the summer of 92 when Bill Watts brought Liger back from Japan just in time for him to remove the just in time for him to declare top rope moves illegal.
No.
I see what he was going for, Bill Watts. Yeah, like, but... I get it.
I think everybody knew what he was going for, but it's like, Bill, you know, it's yeah, this is the '90s, Bill.
Yeah. Plus, how hard would it to be, you know, something the top rope is only to be utilized in the light heavyweight divisions matches? Then you make them special, you know.
That would have worked, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, you'd have to explain why, but Watts could have come up with some reason, you know.
Sure. Yeah, Mike's putting in a lot of work in this match.
Well, it's Paige in the corner, so it's like, I mean, he's working with Paige. I mean, he's helping to train Paige at his school, so you know, so he probably knows Paige's limitations better than anyone else out there.
Yeah,
which is why he's in the ring so much. Oh, nice.
Oh boy.
Good old capo kick.
That'll ring your bell.
Beautiful.
Oh man.
Like Graham's like, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. No, don't tag in Kazmaier, no. here we go. That was good. Well, you know, that could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
This isn't El Gigante here, you know, this is all right, okay, here comes Paige is tagging for the finish. Okay, I got it.
So was that a hot tag that we just
No, this is the hot tag. Get me out of here! Get me out of here! Good God!
Good God!
Oh! Yeah. Oh wow! There we go. This could be a finish right here.
Put him down. Put him down.
Clean break. Wow! All right.
Hey, Pat.
Yeah.
We're allowed one S word on this podcast.
Yes,
right?
I believe that's a standard set by AEW and WWE. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'd like to use it up. This match is the shit.
Oh, there we go. Oh, Mike Graham, all the way out to the floor, and he's not selling the knee after that. There we go. Remember what I said about the missing shots?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Liger just creamed him.
Now, Mike could have taken the count-out loss here, and nobody would have blamed him.
Oh, Mike.
Greg going, Mommy. I mean, maybe it's just a good sales job.
Maybe.
All right, suplex him in. No, oh, we're going to keep this going? Okay. Oh, there we go. Moonsault. Second rope moonsault. He's not even going to go at the top rope. Oh, Paige with a save. Sort of.
Sort of, yeah.
There we go. All right.
Oh, Kazmaier. Ugh. Look at those right hands.
Ouch. There we go. Oh, this will be good.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, so Graham. Oh. I thought Graham was a legal man, but I guess it doesn't matter, does it? Yes, Jushin Liger has pinned Diamond Dallas Page. Yes, and Jushin Liger and Bill Kazmaier make their way to Battle Bowl. All right, that's eight men in the Battle Bowl. Yes. Wow.
Kaz is my pick thus far.
Yeah. Tony Schiavone's talking about the chemistry between Bill Kazmaier and Jushin Liger, which that's not the word I would have used, but okay. Hey, there we go. Like a Japanese photographer there to take pictures of Jushin Liger.
Yep.
And Mike Graham.
Oh, here we go. Here's the next pay-per-view. Football has the Super Bowl. They have Super Bowl. We have Super Raw.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And the first wrestler picture they show to promote that pay-per-view is Jimmy Garvin. Super Bowl Leap Day. Lethal Leap Year. All right. We're all set. Okay, this is... Yeah, call your local cable operator for your availability. I think this is a good stopping point when we get back. Okay, we'll stop it here at 59 minutes and 13 seconds. Outstanding, folks. As many of you know, we're available on Patreon at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And you're saying to yourself, Pat, you know, the show is free. Why would we need to join a Patreon? Well, I'll tell you, and Ken will tell you too. For as low as $4.50 a month, you get access to all of the episodes of Wayback Playback, including the ones from when we were behind the paywall, which were not previously available. And our new episodes, you get them in advance, and you get them without commercials. Ken, isn't that valuable?
Ken? That is absolutely valuable, Pat, especially for, you know, for somebody like you and somebody like Jim Bally, two guys that worked so hard on this for so long. It's a pittance, really. They're not asking for much.
Yes. Now those of you on our Black Scorpion tier, we do bonus material for. For example, Ken and I just recorded the first part of a bonus episode, which we're creating, WWF Superstars from 1992. And who wouldn't want to hear our opinion of the Legion of Doom taking on Dwayne Gill and Barry Hardy?
You are not going to want to miss that, folks. Good Lord.
Mm. Yes, and also we are getting down to the last set of episodes that we have to put up, and then we'll have all of them up here. Just put up WCW Starrcade 1999, episodes 108 through 110, which not only featured, one of the god-awful wrestling shows that led to the death of WCW, but we also had a run-in from our good friend, the Disco Inferno, Glenn Gilberti, explaining the terrible angle that he was in and how he nearly got suffocated and died because of the stupidity of WCW. So that was good.
Disco, poor guy.
He's doing okay now. Plus, we did a bonus, patron bonus match Ken and I did from a Ring of Honor show in 2002. We got we got Starrcade 90 up with the Black Scorpion, and you know, people on our fans love the Black Scorpion. Some people love him irrationally. In fact,
I've been saying for years that nobody has enough Black Scorpion in their life. Truly,
that's
there's
true.
Always room for more Black Scorpion.
Black Scorpion's like Jell-O. Also, if you missed us doing the 1998 Royal Rumble, which was the big launch of Stone Cold and had Mike Tyson there, you'll want to be a part of that. We're going to be putting up the very special Christmas episode that we did a few years back, episode 68, a Mid-South Christmas, where we also did the Wrestle Rock Rumble for the first time. And yeah, I know. Mm. All
happy,
sorts of memories.
Happy holidays, folks.
And and we'll be wrapping up, and this week we're going to be putting up Wrestle Rock itself, and that was incredible 4 hours that Jim and I did. So if you miss Jim, if you want more Wayback Playback, if you want bonus material, there's multiple tiers. Check it out, patreon.com/waybackplayback. All right, well, now we know 8 of the participants for Battle Bowl, which will take place in 2 weeks, and next week we will have 4 more of the Lethal Lottery tag matches. I'm not going to give too much away, but just a partial list of who's still out there to be, who will be, to be chosen. Of course, the Steiner brothers, Rick and Scott, Sting, Vader, Cactus Jack, Ricky Steamboat, Lex Luger, that's good. Ron Simmons, and of course, Arachnoman. So, A lot of excitement there to deal with. And, of course, if you'd like to know more about Steve Austin, the Freebirds, Marcus Bagwell, Tracy Smothers, or Magnum T.A. Terry Allen, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or the Wrestling Observer, or you can go online, get your local library app, and look them up, because they're all in books. Joe, tell everybody about the various podcasts you handle and how folks can follow you on social media.
You can follow me on social media at JFFeeney3RD. That's FEENEY3RD, or the CC Network 1 for the Creative Control Network. I am on weekly Mondays. I'm on the Raven Effect with Raven and MLW's Rich Bikini. And Thursdays, you can hear me on Keeping It 100 with Conan. with Conan and Disco Inferno. And on the Creative Control Network, of course, the show you're listening to, Wayback Playback, is on it.
Right.
Shane Helms is on for Highway to Helms, and also PWR Primetime, where he reviews NXT and AEW and some Impact. And you have Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan on there as well. And actually coming up, debuting in the beginning of October, new show on the network, Francine from ECW's podcast is coming over to the Creative Control Network as well.
That's a big get, and we're happy to have her aboard. In addition to the many fine podcasts here on the Creative Control Network. So, Ken, Ken, it's good to have you with us, and you of course have the next line.
Join us next week, Pat. Same way back time, same playback channel.
And I'll give you a teaser. Yes, the first match that happens on next week's show, yes, Arn Anderson's in it. So there you go for all the fans of Arn, and who isn't a fan of Arn these days. Everybody enjoy the Clash. Jim Valley, we really hope to have you back, and we will return. It'll be October. Until then, yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.